All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here. And we'll get started. You might have said, oh, we only had a half a page to read, but we got a lot to cover with that half a page. So let's start with a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the book of Genesis, which we've been studying, and in particular, Lord, these first 11 chapters. We just thank you so much for everything that is revealed there for us. So tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds, help us to understand, and help us to apply these truths to our lives, and help us to know them so that, Lord, in our evangelism, we can share these things with people, and they can know how we got here, why we're here, why we're in the condition we are. So I just pray that you bless our time tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I hope you all had a good week, and good to see you all, and we're going to get started tonight. Let's just do a little bit of a review before we get going, okay? So, David, hi. What's the first word spoken in the Bible?
Let there be light.
Some of you missed that. David was watching a game show with his mother, and the question was asked, what's the first word spoken in the Bible? And David almost buckled under the pressure, but he answered the question correctly. So, but seriously, of course, chapter 1, verse 1 is kind of like a opening summary statement, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Here's how he did it, verse 2 on, okay? There's no gap. How many of you have a Scofield reference Bible on you? You're using, okay. Scofield reference Bible. I don't know about the new Scofield. I can't answer that because I don't have a new Scofield, but I know the old Scofield promotes gap theory. We don't believe in the gap theory. So he covers the gap theory a little bit. I'm going to send you home with a reading assignment tonight, and you'll learn a little bit more about that gap theory. But chapter 1 explains how he created everything. And how long did it take God to create the earth?
6 days.
6 days. And what kind of days were they?
24 hours.
Right, literal 24-hour days, right? And chapter 2, we get a little pause and a little bit more detail on what happened on the sixth day and how God created Eve. And I saw a meme on Facebook that said, it's amazing how God created a loudspeaker from a rib. But anyway, I'm sorry. Andy's laughing good, but sorry, ladies. But seriously, you know, God created Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. And then, of course, God created Eve from Adam's rib. Chapter 3 is important. Why is chapter 3 important?
Sin.
Sin. Right. It tells us how sin came into the world. Okay. And why we're in the shape we are in today. Okay. It all started when Adam sinned. Now, Eve was tempted, but Adam is blamed. Was that a hand up? I thought.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
No,
okay.
Gotcha. That was scary.
So, Adam was responsible for his wife. And he didn't take that responsibility seriously of guarding and keeping the garden, you know, and it seems like from the text, you know, she turned and gave the fruit to her husband. You know, Adam was there and never said anything. So of course, sin comes into the world, and the world is cursed, and Adam and Eve, explain to me how they died in chapter 3.
They died spiritually.
Spiritually, right? Because God came walking, and what were they doing? Hiding, trying to cover up their nakedness. And of course, in trying to cover up their nakedness, that's kind of the beginning of man-made religion. And of course, God made the move toward saving Adam because God called Adam, "Adam, where are you?" So it was God who made the move toward him. It was God who killed the animal and covered them with the skins of the animal. It was God who, in his grace, expelled them from the Garden of Eden so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever in a sinful place. Okay? And then what happened, chapter 5, what happened eventually to Adam and Eve? They physically died, okay? Chapter 4, how do we know that sin in Adam all die? And the Bible says that even after those who didn't sin after the similitude of Adam, how do we know sin was passed on? What happened in chapter 4? Cain killed Abel, right? The first recorded murder in the Bible, okay? And then, of course, chapter 5, over and over, the death, you know, and he died, and he died, and he died. That's the reoccurring phrase. Chapter 6, the world is growing in population, and the world is becoming very wicked. And we saw a phrase, you can read on it again this week in the reading assignment I give you, but we talked a little bit, I think it was last week, about who were the sons of God and the daughters of men. And does anybody remember the two main theories on who those two groups of people are? Fallen angels, and somehow their spirits, so they had to possess men, and, you know, or somehow, and then they you know, procreated with women. Okay, what's the other theory?
The sons of Seth.
Sons of Seth, the godly line and the ungodly line. Okay, it would seem, and there's good men on both sides. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what to believe, but it would seem that the sons of men are fallen angels, because every time that phrase is used in the Old Testament, it refers to angels. Number one. What did I say? Did I say sons of men? I'm sorry. Sons of God. And it was an... And we looked at some verses in Jude, in 2 Peter, that leaned toward that interpretation. And also, that was an awful big punishment. You know, everybody but 8 people in the world died, you know. So it seems like that is what happened. God sends a flood. Here's one. What does the name Methuselah mean?
Coming judgment.
Right. When he's dead, it'll come. So, and if you follow the chronology, when Methuselah died, the flood came, okay? And how long did God tell Enoch that he was going to give the earth? And how long did it take probably Noah to build the ark? 120 years, right? And, he didn't tell Enoch that. He told Enoch, that judgment was coming. Enoch prophesied about that. What's significant about Enoch?
He didn't die.
He walked with God, and God took him. He was no more. Okay? Yes.
Is there somewhere in the book on that set stuff you were just talking about, the sons of God?
Yeah. And I'll give that to you. This coming week, you're going to have to start reading on page 1187, and it's in there.
It's in there. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't miss it.
No, no, he does mention it very briefly in somewhere.
That's fine.
Okay. Anyway, he does mention it. We talked about it more than what the book mentioned. So, how long did it rain?
40 days.
Okay, we talked about the possibility of the vapor canopy letting loose, right? And the age of people drastically changed after after the flood. Oh, they still lived long, but not 800, 900 years, you know. And then, of course, we learned about Noah and, you know, being... How long were they on the boat about? About a year, okay? And then they got off the boat on Mount Ararat, and everybody went and repopulated the earth, okay? God told them to scatter and repopulate the earth, but we're going to learn tonight that they repopulated the earth, but they didn't scatter, okay? And, of course, we talked a little bit about the sin of Canaan and what that was when Noah was drunk. And talked about a couple of those possibilities. Okay, any questions about any of that stuff or anything dealing with, you know, what we've done so far? Good. So open up your Bibles to Genesis 10 and open up your books to page 14. So we're going to look at the confusion of all things, okay? So God tells them when they get out of the boat to go and, you know, go and repopulate the earth, you know, and how many people came off the ark?
Eight,
right? Four couples. Noah and his wife, Joan, and, you didn't know Noah's wife's name was Joan? Joan of Arc? Anyway,
I am not putting that in my notes.
I wouldn't.
What kind of lights did Noah have on the Ark? Floodlights. All right. I'm on fire. I better stop. Okay. Where did he keep the honeybees? Ooh, I don't know where.
In the archives.
In the archives. Oh, that's a pretty good one. That's a good one. All right. So we're going to be looking at this side of your notes first in a moment. But so look on the not so colorful side. The Bible nations descended from Noah's son. So we see Noah, of course, had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, men unify to honor themselves, okay? A rebel named Nimrod, he was a grandson of Ham, he instigated a religious building program consisting of both an astrological tower and a city on the plain of Shinar, near Babylon. Let's see. Keith, would you mind reading for us Genesis 10, 8 through 10?
In the first of Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh, the land of Shinar.
Okay, so notice it says that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That word before in the Hebrew literally means against or opposition. Before, the Hebrew word carries the idea of being in your face. You know what I mean? Like somebody gets up in your face. You ever hear that? that expression, get out of my face, man, you know, and that's what that phrase means.
Like standing in front?
Yeah, but being against the Lord, too, and you know, so think about it. If you're against the Lord, and if you're, obviously this isn't really what happened, but if you're, you know, standing, so to speak, face to face with the Lord, obviously, I mean, you're going to lose, but this was the arrogance of this man Nimrod, okay? And he built a kingdom called Babel, okay? Now, Babel literally means the gate of God. Okay, Barb, read chapter 11, verse 4. And here's where that phrase Babel comes from.
And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest ye be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
Okay, what did God tell man to do?
Scatter.
Scatter, right? But no, we're going to stay together, and we're going to build a tower to reach heaven. We're going to get to heaven our way, okay? And what is it called? A ziggurat, you know. And so they build this Tower of Babel in Shinar, okay? And they're building this tower, and Nimrod is the one who starts this. And it means gate of God. But the meaning of the word Babel changed to mean confusion. Andy, read chapter 11, verse 9.
Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the faces of all the earth.
Okay, so it has come now to mean confusion. Right? So man was all of one, they were all speaking one language. They were all living together. God said, be fruitful and multiply. They were being fruitful and multiplying. But they weren't scattering. And they even said, we don't want to scatter. We want to build a tower up to heaven. So God went down. There's another Trinitarian verse there, verse 7. Go to, let us go down. Who's God speaking to? Himself. Okay. And so they go to Babel. And what, do we even use the word Babel sometimes? Oh, he's just babbling. You know, and what is Babel? You know, like in what do we think of Babel? Nonsensical language, baby talk. I mean, you can't understand, you know. I hate that one language program that they call it Babel. You ever hear the advertisement? I hate that they call it that. But anyway, because it's not a good connotation, you know. But what else do you hear? What modern city do you hear in the name Babel? Babylon, right? Where's Babylon? Still in the news today, you know. So this is where this is all taking place. The plains of Shinar, you know, Iran, Iraq, and in that area of the world, okay? And look at chapter 11, verse 1, okay? And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. You ever think of what that one language was?
It's
1611 English? I don't know. No, it wasn't English. Look, turn your Bibles to Zephaniah. Ooh, almost at the end of the Old Testament.
It was a sign language.
Zephaniah. Zephaniah is after Habakkuk. It's about the fourth book back.
Oh, there it is.
Zephaniah. Christy, read chapter 3, verse 9, please.
For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
Okay. God is going to again turn the world to a, return the world to a pure language.
Mm.
You know, is that the language spoken of before Babel? I don't know if you could necessarily call it pure, because, you know, it was tainted by sin, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and guess what that language is. Craig Hartman is convinced that it's Hebrew, but I'm not going to argue with him, you know, could be, might not be, I don't know, you know, but anyway, it, you know, we do know everybody spoke the same language. Makes sense, because there was one family on the ark. They didn't separate. But, you know, then once people separated, the reason they separated is because God confounded their language. Okay? All right? So this is what happens. So Nimrod builds this city, and man is trying to reach up to heaven. And so God separates them for their disobedience. And God punished this evil attempt and separated mankind into small ethnic groups by confusing their once universal language into many dialects. That's chapter 11, verses 5 to 9. Okay? And so, you know, you imagine all of a sudden you're building and, you know, you turn to your partner and you say, give me the trowel. But he has no idea what you said. And he answers you back in something that you don't understand. So something's going on here. So now the people are, you know, trying to find people that they can talk with and understand. And from that, you know, it seems that three people groups separated from there. Okay? And of course, today we have thousands of languages and even more dialects. Okay? But it's pretty interesting that people who study linguistics and who really know language, you know, narrow things down quite a bit. I don't know what the exact number is, but, you know, they can narrow things down quite a bit, where a lot of these, you know, languages, main languages, and of course dialects come from those different languages, but they can narrow it down, okay? So now we have the origins of the nations. And Genesis chapter 10, been called the Table of Nations, okay, kind of explains to us where the people went and how, you know, the earth began to be populated. And the ancient world was now settled by the descendants of Noah's three sons. And in Genesis 2:10, 2-5, and we won't read these passages because we won't mess up all the names, okay? But in Genesis chapter 10, verses 1-5, we learn about Japheth, okay? And of course, we read some very interesting names there. We read Magog. Where do we read about Magog again? All the way in the back of the book, right? They don't go away. And it's interesting, in verse 3, there's a son called Ashkenaz, right? Jewish people from Europe are called Ashkenazi Jews, okay? So, look at your table there. From Japheth came the Greeks, the Thracians, and the Scythians. For the most part, Japheth's descendants settled in Europe and Asia Minor. So, friends, for the most part, all of us in this group, we are Japheth's descendants. Okay? Where did America get settled by? The English, Europe, right? English and the Dutch came. Of course, the Germans came, you know, a lot of people groups came, but So the vast majority of us here are from Japheth, okay? These people settled into Europe. You could look on the back of your map, and you can see from, see Japheth in the blue there? They're the people represented. Turkey, and up here, Gomer, going up into, more into, you know, France, and then eventually up into England. You know, people kept going north, 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 right? And Russia, settling up in Russia. If you look at a bigger map and a modern map up against Magog, up there by Magog is Russia, right? And all those countries. So that's where Japheth went from that time, okay? And turn with me, if you will, please, to Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. And before we do that, turn to Acts 17. And David, read Acts 17, 26.
26?
Acts 17, 26.
Yeah. And hath made of one blood in all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
Okay, so Paul visiting Athens and preaching at Athens, what does he say of man? We're all one blood, right? What is the world trying to divide people into?
Races.
Do you know how many races there are?
One.
It's called the human race, okay? Don't fall for, you know, the African American race, the Caucasian race, the Asian race. What? No, I well, yeah. Don't fall for that. There's one race. Now, there are different cultures, correct? There are different ethnicities, correct? There are different kingdoms and countries. But there's one race. And the continual reference of race continues to keep racism in the forefront. Okay? Now, there is racism. I mean, we can't get around that. But, you know, and don't be so, you know, naive to say, oh, I don't see color. Yes, we do. We see color, you know, but we don't see it as something that negative, that separates us.
Well, there's two meanings to that.
Right. Is there different cultural things amongst people groups? You know, I love to go to the Philippines, but they're very, very, very different people than I am, you know. And, you know, so culture's fine, and you know, things like that is fine, but we have to be careful, okay? Now go to chapter 10. I just wanted to give you, that's an extra, that wasn't in the book, so. Chapter 10, and Matt, Acts 10, what do I want you to read? No, did I say that? Yes, please read verse 1.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Okay, so, Japheth, right? Mm-hmm. Here is Japheth. Where did Japheth's family go? To Europe. Okay, eventually. Here is the gospel going to the sons of Japheth. And who was the first Gentile converted?
Cornelius.
And he was what?
Italian.
Right?
Yeah.
So Italians had to get saved first because they were so bad, right? No.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at Nick. But
create the food that we want.
But seriously, here is the gospel going to the sons of Japheth. And the first Gentile saved was from the Italian centurion named Cornelius, who was Italian. Okay? All right? And so the gospel goes to the sons of Japheth, Europeans, basically. All right? Anybody here not of European descent, as far as you know?
We're mixed in my family. We have some Israel.
Okay.
We have some Jewish.
Yeah.
We think we have some Asian.
Okay. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's very possible. I'm very boring. I'm all British Isles. I'm English and Irish. So, you know, I bake like a potato when you put me out in the sun. So, you know. But.
And if the Native American, you know, that most likely that would have come from Shem too.
Shem or possible. Yeah.
Possible.
Right. Yeah. Possible. Okay? All right. The next son we learn about in the Table of Nations is Ham.
Delicious.
Okay? Ham. Now, look on the back, and you can see the kind of yellowy brown, right? That is Ham's family, okay? And you can see Ham was settled in the land north of Israel, there where it says Canaan, okay? Canaan was whose son? Whose grandson? Ham's grandson, right? Canaan, we sing Canaan land, right? Okay? So we're going to learn something in a minute about Canaan land. But, you know, that land there, the Middle East, Egypt, and Africa is basically where Ham settled, okay? We find out about his descendants in chapter 10, verses 6 to 20, okay? And some of his people settled Ethiopia and Egypt and Africa. And the Canaanites of Palestine, where modern Israel is, do not associate the Palestinians today, you know, with the Canaanites or even the Palestine, you know, the Palestinians from David's day and whatnot. Not the same people. We'll talk about that maybe at another time. But notice the Hittites, the Jebusites. These are a lot of people that Joshua and the children of Israel drove out of the Promised Land. We're going to learn in a minute that Shem is the Messianic line. But Shem and his family did not settle. Their home is not in Israel. Israel was promised them. Okay? It's the promised land. It is theirs by promise. Okay? And Philistines and Shin is mentioned there, and this is possibly the founder of the Asian people of China, Japan, and India. Okay? And these people, the people of Ham, are basically African and Asian people, okay? Middle Eastern Asian people and African people. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Zachary 27, please. Yes, sir.
And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship.
Okay, so Where was this man from?
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Where's Ethiopia?
Africa.
Africa. Okay. Who settled Africa?
Ham.
Ham and his family. So here's the gospel to the sons of Ham. Okay. If you're ever questioned by somebody, and they're questioning you how Christianity is a Western religion, share with them that the sons of Japheth, the Europeans, were the last to receive the gospel. Because we're going to see in a minute, Acts 2, of course, Shem's relatives got the gospel first. The church started. And then this Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel to Africa. And Christianity was in Africa before it got to Europe. Okay? So it's not a Western religion. Now, today, more Westerners would identify as Christians than others, but didn't start that way. Not first. Okay?
But isn't it interesting that now they want Japheth's descendants not to have the Word of God?
Yeah.
It goes to everybody but us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? So, and it's really neat history if you read some church history. You know, a lot of strong believers, in Egypt and Alexandria and the great libraries and whatnot. And Alexandria was a place of learning and whatnot. And that would be before Christianity. But nonetheless, Christianity went to Africa before it went to Europe. Okay.
This Ethiopian eunuch, he had been studying the scripture.
Right.
On his way to Jerusalem.
Right, so he more than likely was what's called a proselyte, somebody who was converted to Judaism, and so he's interested in Jewish things, and lo and behold, Philip, and of course this is the great chapter where Philip, he's reading from Isaiah 53, right, and he doesn't understand it, and Philip said, you know what you're reading? He said, how can I unless somebody explained to me? And it says, he opened up to him the scriptures and he preached unto him Jesus. And he preached and he said, do you believe? And he said, I do believe. First he said, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? So obviously there was a lot more discussion going on than what we read about, right? And he said, well, if you believe that, and he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he baptized him. And then he disappeared. Not the eunuch, but Philip. So, it's pretty interesting the relationship you can see with Africa and Israel, going back even to the times of Solomon, who came from Africa to visit Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, So Judaism even spread down into Africa, and here you have Ethiopians coming and whatnot. So it's definitely, the gospel is for the world. But it's interesting, and in a moment, obviously, we'll get to Shem. But the gospel was, and we can see, in particular, the three people groups that make up Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all receiving the gospel, right? Of course, chapter 2, the Jewish people. Chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Chapter 10, the Europeans. Okay? All right? Good? All right. So, the descendants of Shem. Chapter 10 of Genesis 21 to 31, talk about the different relatives. Then when you get to chapter 11, in particular, you follow the line because in chapter 12, well, we're introduced to him in chapter 11, but chapter 12, the narrative slows down. How many years of world history are recorded in Genesis 1 to 11? about a third of world history, about 2,000 years, okay? So a third of our history, you know, so very fast, boom. You know, it's a real quick overview, but now the narrative begins to slow down because we'll see, not next week, but the week after, we'll begin to look at the life of Abraham, okay? And what an important figure he was in a lot of ways, okay? And we'll talk about the many different ways Abraham is an important figure. But in chapter 11, we learn in particular about Abraham's line, okay? Which is important because Abraham's line, for those of you who were out there on Wednesday night, you know, and for the folks from Winnesquam, Abraham's line is the messianic line, you know. So now the story begins to, you know, go from Seth, you know, to Shem, now to Abraham, okay? And so it's narrowing down, okay? So Abraham, of course, Abraham's son Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and from those 12 sons came the nation of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel when he wrestled with God. We'll learn about this in the future, but Jacob's name means trickster, you know, heel grabber, actually, you know, but one who trips somebody. And Israel means prince with God, you know. And of course, his 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, and a nation was born when they were down in Egypt under slavery. Through Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau, the Arab countries come from in the Middle East, right? So the Arabs, who hate the Jews, are half-brothers, right? You know, the people who over there, not here, people over here don't understand what they're talking about, but the people who are saying, you know, from the river to the sea, you know, that means drive Israel from the river, what river? The Jordan River to the sea. What sea? The Mediterranean. You know, those people that want to get rid of the Jewish nation are half-brothers for the most part. You know, there's some other family, but they're all related. And you know, of course, by faith, you know, Abraham is the father of really three great religions. You know, Abraham, of course, is the father of Judaism. There's no doubt. Personally, my personal opinion, Abraham is not the father of Islam. Okay? Abraham is the father of Arab people, and from the Arab people came Islam. You understand what I'm saying? They would claim Abraham as their father. Okay? So in the world's mind, Abraham is the father of the Jews, the Arabs, the Muslims, and of course, by faith, who's our father? Abraham. Paul tells us that, you know, by faith. So you know, Abraham is a very, very, very important figure in the Bible, which we'll learn about here in the coming weeks, okay? And turn to, so notice on this side, Shem, okay? You have Hebrews, the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Syrians. Shem's descendants were called the Semites, okay? What's it called if you're against Jewish people today? Anti-Semitic, okay? And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jesus, of course. And so this is basically where the table of nations. This is how the world began to be populated. Go, turn to Acts chapter 2. Nick, read verse 5.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation of the earth.
Okay, Jews. So the gospel to the Jewish people, to the Shemites, to the Shem's people. So Isn't it interesting that in the book of Acts, in Genesis chapter 10, we learn about the three main people groups. You know, the Africans, the Easterners, the Eastern nations, whether it's Middle East or Far East, right? And the Europeans. And we see the gospel go to all of them. Of course, it follows Paul's to the Jew first. The gospel was to the Jew first because that's the nation that God chose. Okay? Remember, at this time, right now, this is very important. Noah was not Jewish. Okay? There was no Jewish people until Abraham. There was no Jewish nation till Moses. Okay? Now, relative of the Jewish people, but Noah was not Jewish. Because the first man called a Hebrew was who? Abraham. Okay? Abraham. Okay? So, and from Abraham came the Hebrews. See? Shem, the Hebrews, came from Abraham. Go ahead, Christy.
So Abraham is a few generations down from Shem, isn't he?
Yeah.
And there's a Hebrew before.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was in Hebrew?
I mean, that's possible. I mean, you know, from that line, but, you know, I don't know exactly. We'll probably see it in the days ahead. But you know, where Abraham was called a Hebrew, but you know, but the priesthood and all that didn't come about. You know, the nation itself until God gave them the law, and you know, so that was Moses. That's why those two figures are so important in Judaism: Abraham, the father of the nation, you know, and Moses, you know, the lawgiver, David.
Just so we're talking about the same person, Abraham's the one that walked by faith, right?
Right. His name started out as Abram. His wife started, her name started out as Sarai, you know,
and
then
he
became
told him to walk Abraham. And he just...
And he went. Yeah, we'll learn about that, not next week, but the week after. You know, so speaking about that, now look on this map. I put three X's on the map. Can you see one X above Kuwait?
Yes.
Okay. You see one X under the word, under the E and the T in Japheth? Right?
Okay.
And then you see a third X alongside of Canaan. Okay? Aphrodax, that first X, that's the birthplace, Ur of the Chaldees. That's the birthplace of Abraham. Okay? Remember, Abraham was promised the land of Canaan. So that's the birthplace of Abraham. God told him to get out. Okay? So he leaves. Now, you can't see it on this map, but here's Saudi Arabia. Okay? My son's in Saudi Arabia right now. There's nothing in Saudi Arabia but sand, and under the sand is oil. But there's nothing in Saudi Arabia but sand. So if you lived, let's just say you lived by the Persian Gulf, okay? And what's over here? Iran and Iraq, right? This is all Iran and Iraq here, okay? In today's world. So if you wanted to go to Egypt, oh, let's just go straight. You would never make it, okay? And there was something that you can't see it on this map, but maybe some of your maps in the back of your Bible have it, what was called the Fertile Crescent. See all the water? See the Tigris River, the Euphrates River? And so even though it was longer to get there, there was a route called the King's Highway. And it went north, it went west, and then it went south. Okay? And it went through Israel. But if you went this way, you died. Okay? Because there's nothing. Nothing but heat and sand and, you know, and so Abraham is born here. And we'll see some things in the days ahead, how it says Abraham, you know, Abraham was an idol worshiper before God called him. Okay? God called him when he was how old? We'll learn this in a couple of weeks, but how old was he? Older than anybody in this room.
75.
Yep, 75. Okay? And God, huh?
How long did he live till?
I think 170 maybe.
Yeah.
170, I think, something like that. So, and so he goes up here with his whole family. His one brother had died, okay? Lot's father, I forgot his name now, we'll learn about it, I think. Maybe Haran, right? Because they went up here and they stopped in just north of Syria in what is modern-day Turkey, okay? They stopped there in what is modern-day Turkey. And, I have something written in my Bible. Let me, so I don't mess this up. So Abraham is born in Ur of the Chaldees. The modern city is called Tel El Mugiyar. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. It's in Iraq. And it's southeast of Baghdad. So if you look at a map of Baghdad, a modern map, just southeast of that, okay? Not southeast, but southeast. So you got to cut it again, you know, and is where Ur the Chaldees was. Then he went up to where that second X, and that's Haran. That's modern-day Turkey, the very southern part of modern-day Turkey. And it's interesting that the name of the city is called Haran because that's Abraham's brothers who died's name. So maybe they named it after him. And from Haran, he goes down to Canaan land, the promised land, which is future Israel, and he settled in Shechem. So this X here is close to where Shechem is, but Shechem is 30 miles north of modern-day Jerusalem. So that's his first stop that's recorded in the Bible, in the Promised Land, okay? So remember, here's where Shem settled, right? But here is where Abraham was promised, the land of Canaan, okay? What did God do to Canaan that we learned about in Genesis chapter 9. He cursed Canaan, right? Canaan, part of the curse was Japheth and Shem would rule over you. They lost their land, okay? They lost their possession, some of their possession. So let's be true to history and true to the Bible. Because a lot of questions are being asked about this today. You know, Israel isn't the rightful owners of the land, okay? Yes, they are. It's the land that they were promised by God. It's the land that God told them to drive the inhabitants out. Some of those people, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and the Otherites, and the Termites, and all them, right? That God told to drive out. And they took possession of the promised land. Because God told Abraham, because of his faith, everywhere that you walk, I've promised to you. Now, Abraham in his life didn't see that. And Abraham lived in a tent all his life. And the only thing that Abraham owned in the promised land was a cemetery plot, a cave, where Sarah's buried, and he's buried, and Leah is buried, and Isaac and Rebecca are buried, you know. So that's going to be a resurrection morning from there. But, you know, but understand that. It's their land by promise, okay? All right?
Israel is the only nation on the face of the earth that God himself gave land.
Right, yep.
And Israel is not possessing all that he gave.
Right, right. Today, yeah.
Much larger than Israel.
Yes, and there's good there's good, the Sinai Peninsula, you know, the Sinai Peninsula, it's pretty good proof that that is probably part of what God promised Israel, you know, as well. You know, Gaza, Gaza, which is on the a little strip of land in Israel that's on the Mediterranean Sea where we're seeing all the fighting take place, that's really part of Israel, but they gave it to the Palestinians. The West Bank, up by the Jordan River, part of the Jerusalem in that, you know, the West Bank, which belongs to the Palestinians, that's really Israel's. Part of what's modern-day Jordan. 2.5 tribes settled on the other side of the river. So what's modern-day Jordan is really also Israel's, you know. But Israel gave up an awful lot of land for peace. They don't have all that belongs, that was promised to them. That's a good point, Andy. Okay.
They go way further east.
Yeah.
I read somewhere talking about David's the conquests that David had during his time, that it extended way further to the east.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I mean, the kingdom was at its zenith with Solomon, but then, of course, you know, his son Jeroboam, Rehoboam's rebellion, you know, divided the kingdom, and then it's been downhill for since then, but so chapter 10 and chapter 11 are really important because, you know, in chapter 11 you learn about Shem's generation, and you learn about Nahor, chapter verse 24, and Terah, and Terah lived 70 years and begot Aram, Nahor, and Haran. These are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. I'm sorry. I did say Haran was his. And Haran died before his father in Terah in the land of his nativity, the Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? First X. This is where Abraham starts life. This is where Abraham is living. This is where Abraham finds his wife. Okay? Then Abraham comes up here. To Haran. This is where Abraham becomes a wealthy man. You know, and then God said, leave. And he left. And he went to the promised land. Okay? And that's what we read about. Okay? All right? So not next week, but the week after, we'll pick up, you know, the next phase. So look at your syllabus for W1, Block W1 course. Number 4, it says review questions handout. Here's your first test, but it's an open book test. So take these home, and here's your assignment this week, okay? To answer these, because this is what we're going to discuss next week. Now, before you do that, turn to page 1187 in your book. Way toward the back, 1187. So the rest of the book, basically, from there, well, not really, but there's 39 questions and statements that he answers from the first 11 chapters of Genesis, okay? Read this. We're not going to go over it. This is just for your own edification. There's a lot of scientific stuff in here that I have no clue about. Okay, to be honest, I'm not a scientist, you know. But he gets into some scientific stuff. But there's also some really interesting, cool, and neat stuff in here. Okay,
so the number after the question is basically where the answer is.
In here?
Yeah, there's a page.
Yeah. And then he gives some scripture references and whatnot. But so you can look that up if you want, and so you can see like 1,188. You know, there's all the questions. You know, and some of these questions come from here. Some don't. I only gave you 15. Okay. But you can use your book, you can use your Bible, but please answer these, because this is what we're going to be discussing next week, okay? So, what? What did he say? So, all right, any questions or thoughts? We didn't have a whole hour and a half tonight, but I'm sure no one's going to argue about that. Any questions or thoughts or anything you may not be clear on, or you are clear on, or you need some more help with? But isn't it kind of interesting how, you know, the basic people groups are really only three, you know? And it's interesting how, you know, of course, if somebody found blood, right, and they took that blood into a laboratory and they did a DNA test, what's the very first thing they could tell? That's human blood. Because we're all made of what? One blood. So we all have things in our DNA that we share, right? Because who did we all come from?
Adam
and Eve. Okay? So, but then, you know, certain DNA markers can get even a little more particular. And I don't think modern worldly DNA said, oh, Japheth, Ham, and Shem, you know, but hey, you're European, you know, you're Asian, you're African. And isn't it kind of interesting how you can even tell, not all the time, but you can tell by looking at somebody. An Asian person looks different than a European person, who looks different than an African person, you know.
But you can tell from the bones.
Yeah.
Forensically.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be a scientist, and I'm not going to sit here and read some of these things to you folks about science, you know. But read that. Do as much or as little study as you want. But do these so that we can have something to discuss next week. Because
we'll be on the midterm.
I want to, you know, why is it important for us to know these 11 chapters?
If we don't have
foundational.
It's foundational. It answers so many questions that people are asking today. You know?
If we don't know the beginning, how can someone else?
Exactly. And so, you know, it tells how we got here. It tells why we're here. It tells where we're going. It tells, you know, why we're in such a mess that we're in. And you know, it answers a lot of questions, even a lot of the racial tensions that are going on today. So I just think it's a very important passage, sections for us to learn. Christy?
So out of the book, this is just something that I wondered about, and if I'm reading into things too much, let me know, please. But, you know, how he says, men unify to honor themselves. And then it says, God separates men for their disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that popped into my head was the denominations in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if this is a principle with God that disobedience separates. And then the second thing is, can you imagine what it would be like if there wasn't disobedience at the Tower of Babel, or there was no Tower of Babel,
right,
but that the descendants went and did what God expected them to do? What would that have looked like?
Well, I mean, that's a, what do you call that? That's a hypothetical, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what that would have looked like, but
there
would
be so much confusion among people.
Yeah.
The separation, but confusion.
I mean, and just even think today, you know, I don't know how many of you have done any traveling outside the United States, but You know, you go to some places, it's confusing, you know? I remember one time I flew to the Philippines. I flew into Seoul, Korea, South Korea. And there's not a whole lot of English in Seoul. Thank God for pictures because, you know, it's confusing. You know, it's confusing, you know. And I remember when I was trying to order food, you know, I had to point to the noodle dish that I want. I mean, you know, but thankfully, at least over the loudspeaker, you know, they had somebody speaking English, you know, and you did have your ticket that told you what gate you needed to go to. But, you know, it's tough when you can't communicate with people, you know. And, you know, yes, English is understood in a lot of places. But not everybody understands English, so.
Yeah, even people that speak it.
Yeah. All right, any other questions, thoughts?
There's a guy, Nathaniel Jensen. He's with Answers in Genesis. He has a doctorate in genetics and something else or something. He's doing some really interesting stuff. He's on YouTube, he's on the Answers in Genesis.
If you're into that, the more scientific stuff of things, and you're into science and all that, you know, Answers in Genesis is a great resource, you know, that we can, for the most part, trust, you know.
Is it a book or a video series?
There's books they have out, there's video series, there's YouTube, you know.
You can watch it for free on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch things like that. So. Ken Ham, you know.
We've taken for granted a lot of history, and he's come along and found out, because he can trace the genetics through the fathers. He goes right back to them three sons.
Yeah.
He can actually do that.
Yeah.
And,
but he also does the history.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and he shows how countries, people move from one country to another, how the invasions and all this other stuff. And he gets the timelines and all that. It's amazing how he does it with the linguistics and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Don't fall for all, I'll use the modern word, but don't fall for all the wokeness going on, you know, and get back to the basics, you know, and they talk about the indigenous people that were here and we came and kicked them out. Well, you know how much the Indians were fighting with each other, and the one Indians that came and then the other Indians that came after that,
that's
and
right.
You know, they were killing each other long before we got here, so, you know. People have been fighting over land anywhere you go. Okay?
We killed them with disease. That's what we did.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's what happened.
All right. Anything else?
Where do you stand with Institute for Creation Research?
I think a lot of that stuff is good. You know, ICR and you know, Answers in Genesis, you know, I think they're good resources for us to learn some of these things that, you know, you're not going to get a science lesson from Pastor Dan. It's not going to happen because, you know.
We got a geography lesson tonight.
What?
We got a geography lesson tonight.
Well, I mean, that's easy when you have a map, but, you know, so. But I love that kind of stuff, and I wish I had, what I like even more is, okay, where is this in the modern world? Boom, you know, and isn't it interesting that Iran and Iraq, from the very beginning, right, still in the news today, right? You know, hating each other, bombing each other, and, you know, Arabs and
well, Babylon.
Babylon, yeah,
Genesis,
yep.
Babylon,
yep,
so
like... yep. Well, who is rebuilding Babylon before we invaded his country and had him killed, you know, Saddam Hussein, you know, and so they said the original walls of Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar built were so wide, four chariots could go side by side on top of the walls. That's how wide the walls were.
They used to have races up there, yep. Chariot races.
The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the world. So, all right, Mr. Keith, close us in prayer.
Yep.
Seeing how you're anxious to...
Here's also the door.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to learn this basic foundational information about history, Lord, from your viewpoint, from your word. We thank you for the truth and veracity of your word, that we can learn so much from it. We just dig into it and allow you to teach us, allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in this. This learning process, and thank you for our pretty blessing on each of these folks. So, Pastor, as the week goes on and as we prepare to meet again, should you tarry, Lord, we send you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.